Listen, I'm not a narcissist, but I know that the people in my family love seeing photos of me and my family and my kid. And why wouldn't they, right? There's nothing better, no better way to put a smile on your loved one's face than to share a special photo. So this holiday season, give the gift that keeps on giving memories. Whether it's for grandparents who adore seeing the grandkids' latest antics, or a friend who loves capturing every moment, the Skylight Frame is the perfect gift to bring joy and connection into any home. It's easy to use. You can set it up effortlessly, do some instant sharing, no app or subscription required. It just takes a minute. It's also got a gift mode. It's the ultimate surprise. You can preload your favorite photos before gifting the Skylight Frame. So they open it up, they can enjoy it immediately. This is better than social media. It's private. You don't have to share it with the world. Also, Skylight is a top-rated brand with over 1 million happy customers and thousands of five-star reviews. And for a limited time, get 20% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to ca.skylightframe.com/hockey. That's right. To get 20% off your Skylight Frame, just go to ca.skylightframe.com/hockey. That's ca.skylightframe.com/hockey.
What's up, champs? Welcome to another episode of the Short Shifts Fantasy Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Keeping Carlson. I'm your host, Jeremy Versillo, and joining me tonight, Shams Benamor. Shams, how are you doing?
Doing okay, just doing the classic cupful cross of my fingers, hoping my goalie gives me a zero-pointer because he's currently in the negative, but the way this Merzlikins game's going, and it's 5-5 in the third, you never know, it could be 8-8 by the end. Finish the sentence.
Yeah, it was a wild second period, especially in that Columbus-Tampa game. But unlike the Nashville Predators last night, we have the correct hosts starting the game for us. That was one of the weirdest penalties I've ever seen. So let's jump into the headlines. First up, the big unfortunate injury news. Alex Ovechkin is out 4 to 6 weeks with a broken, was it the tibia or the fibula? One of those leg bones. I know, thankfully, he avoided a more serious knee injury. The breaks often heal faster than the ligaments. Unfortunate to be without one of the game's star players for that long.
Yeah, luckily, it's only a fracture. I'm not sure how much the difference between a break and a fracture is, but the nice thing is that I know we don't want to be... You know, I say 4 to 6 weeks is a return. That's nice. But as you were mentioning before, Jeremy, is that this could have been anything with the way it was looking. And with that in mind, it's this top line looks, you know, obviously much less or without Ovechkin, but it's strong with Protas and Mascherano. Now, I'm not sure, you know, I'm not saying rush to get him, but Mascherano does have a history of scoring goals when he was with the Flames. So maybe keep an eye on him, put him on your watch list, and if he looks interesting, maybe give him a shot with the extra ice time he has.
Definitely. I'm not too interested in the Protasses or the Mangiapanis of the world, but you could do worse for a streamer. They're going to get lots of minutes. The Caps are a wagon this year, so why not? In other injury news, Freddie Anderson, we finally figured out what's wrong with him, and it's not positive. He has a knee injury that requires surgery, which means he's out 8 to 12 weeks. So Kochetkov and Martin will have the net for the foreseeable future. Kochetkov played last night. Martin's playing tonight. I actually think Martin's playing pretty well, so maybe that's going to be, you know, more of a, not really a 50-50, but more of a 1A, 1B than kind of you'd initially think when you hear the name Spencer Martin as the second goalie. Do you think there's much value here? I assume Kochetkov's owned just about everywhere, especially with Freddie being hurt, but any advice?
He's not going to have the best numbers as he is their third goalie, but like Martin, in situations where a win is valuable in like leagues that you get a lot of points for it or in categories leagues, I would not be afraid to start Martin in situations where maybe it's a lesser opponent or in situations where you might be fine, you know, giving up your save percentage category. You're just going for wins. But overall, they have played him a decent amount last year when they had injury issues, so they're not afraid to play Martin. I don't think this is going to be one of the situations where Kukechev gets like every game and like back-to-backs included.
Yeah, as the back-to-back yesterday and today shows, they definitely aren't going to be doing that. I will give my usual boilerplate warning with Hurricanes goalies. The Hurricanes are the kings of shot suppression. Last night, Kochetkov only faced 20 shots. He saved 19 of them and they won, so that's a good result. Tonight, Spencer Martin has only faced 20, but he's currently on the hook for a 3-2 loss unless something's happened in the last 5 minutes. So, you know, you're playing with fire a bit there because even though the Hurricanes are a good team, you very easily could get, you know, a 3-2 loss with 17 saves, which is not a lot of fantasy points for your fantasy team. One more goalie outchery this time. Alexander Georgiev is off the IR. He's playing pretty well against the aforementioned Caps right now. I think he's in line for the win. So get him back in your lineup. I think he's probably going to start more often than Anunin is. Like, that seems like he's righted the ship from earlier this year. On to some more injury news. Zach Hyman left the last Edmonton game and apparently will be out 4 to 7 days. Victor Arvidsson got moved to IR and isn't playing tonight, but he is eligible to come back at any time because he's already missed a week. It's just a retroactive IR, probably a paper move to get someone in for Hyman. With those absences, the first line is Podkolzin, McDavid, Draisaitl, and the second line is Skinner, RNH, Kapanen. I, half seriously, in our short shifts chat, commented that Kapanen was kind of interesting to me. I'm a sucker for the McDavid third wheels, and with how bad Skinner has been this year, I was like, oh, Kasperi Kapanen could be like moderately useful on the wing of McDavid or Draisaitl, and now he's getting that chance. We will see if he does anything with it today and Saturday, presumably. But I don't know. I said that, and it's more like a deep streamer, not like a go get him now type of thing. Anything to add to these Edmonton guys?
Yeah, the scary thing too is that I know we want to always be looking at the lines, and when we see one that's interesting, you want to go rush to the add button. But keep in mind is that their next game is to Saturday, where I think literally every team except two are playing. So I hope you can't fit them in your roster at that day. And then after that, it's Friday, Saturday next week. They only play two games. So maybe keep an eye on who's there. And then if you're interested, like try to pick them up middle of next week, because knowing the Oilers, the lines could change 15 times before their next game. So I wouldn't be putting too much on this. And with that long gap in between the Saturday game and the next game, those guys could be healthy again and then taking over these interesting spots that you have for your Podkolzins or your Kapanens.
Yeah, a long gap and short-term injuries means I'm not particularly interested. Like you said, you probably can't fit them for either of your next two games unless you have a very no-bench type of league. That's probably just informational, keep an eye on, not immediately actionable. Vince Dunn is out for at least another 2 weeks, according to the coach. Seems like they're taking it very slow with his injury. I mean, he's already been skating for 2 to 3 weeks. I guess this is good news for Brandon Montour, who's been on an absolute tear since Dunn got hurt. But I'm sure this is frustrating for Vince Dunn owners like myself. What do you know about Alex Pietrangelo, though, who is not playing tonight for a day-to-day reason, apparently?
Yeah, there's not much news. I believe there was some talk about him. I forget if he left the game late or if he was just like smarting after a hit, but there were some concerns with how he ended last game, and then they ended up calling a defenseman up and people were starting to pontificate what was going on, and it looks like it was actually him being hurt. It's just an upper body injury that we know right now, and basically it's just going to have to be a wait and see. Right now, I don't know how much their lines are going to be, but he was only playing power play two, so with Noah Hanifin as the second, so there could be a new forward in there that might be able to get a small boost, and something to keep in mind. I believe they're doing well today, but if he's out for any extended time, this might be a ding on either goalie because he's such a good, you know, defensive defenseman that no matter who they add up, there's going to be not much able to replace him. So not news on how long it's going to be, but other than that, just going to cross your fingers that the goalies could keep it up without him in place.
Yeah, the only semi-bright thing here is that the next week has some very busy schedules, so it's possible if you roster five defensemen, you're not really losing a game from him. You're just replacing him with a slightly worse option off of your bench. Probably plenty of streamable options next week, too. So timing-wise, this isn't terrible for fantasy managers. On the defenseman outchery train, Chris Letang is back. He has not reclaimed power play one and is on power play two instead. But get him back in your lineup. I don't think there's much else to say here. You have anything on this one?
The one thing I noticed is that it's really nice is that, you know, obviously we would want him to point and being on power play two is not the greatest, but I kind of look at him as like Shabbat is that even if he's not getting that prime position at the power play one, he's shooting and blocking a lot. So assuming that you have the banger stats in your fantasy league, this is still a nice addition and maybe possibly someone you can try to target off of someone else if they're annoyed that he's not getting his points.
I am definitely a Letang fan for those peripherals. I got him off waivers in the league. I drafted him in Cupful. At one point, he was my only healthy defenseman in Cupful and then got hurt. So I have, you know, a very thin line back there. But with that, let's go to our break. And when we come back, we'll talk about some hot and cold players.
Watching a hockey game live? Enough said, right? It's the best. I love being able to like actually see the hit happens, and then you look at your app, and you're like, your player and your fantasy team got the hit that you saw live. It's crazy. You gotta go live to experience it, and of course, to go to hockey games, you need to buy tickets, and that's where our friends over at Game Time come in. Game Time has a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. I'm taking a look now. Let's say you're in Montreal. You want to see a Habs game. I'm looking at the Golden Knights against the Canadiens on November 23rd. That looks like it's going to be a fun game. Nick Suzuki against his drafting team. And you just get a really great view, I'm looking at it now, of like what your options are. Like cheapest ticket, $100, all in. You can see how that looks. Pretty good. Kind of far back. I'm sure every ticket is fine. But then, you know, if you want to spend $224, I'm seeing there's a like 100 section center ice. Looks incredible, right? So you got to check out the Game Time app. I really like the ability to see like how your seat is going to look when you're deciding which tickets you're going to buy. Also, if you're looking for a spur of the moment thing, Game Time has last minute deals on tickets right up to the start of the event and even an hour after it starts. They also have exclusive flash deals and sponsored deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code THPN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code THPN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time!
The 2024-25 NHL season still has that new car smell, and the action is heating up at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. It's super easy for first-timers to get started at DraftKings Sportsbook. Try betting on something simple, like picking a team to win. You can also pick on a player to score a goal. You can bet on a whole bunch of things. And if you're new to DraftKings, listen up. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if your bet wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN stands for the Hockey Podcast Network for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets if your bet wins when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/ice.
Welcome back. And we mentioned some hot and cold players. It's kind of for the cold is a team because Shams this morning put Quinton Byfield onto our Trello board, and by virtue of time zones and my sleep schedule, Shams almost always starts the Trello board, and I take a look at it a couple hours later, and I saw Byfield on there, and I'm like, yeah, he's been cold, but so have Alex LaFerriere, Kevin Fiala, and Brant Clark. And I looked a bit closer, and basically everyone on the Kings who is not Kopitar or Kempe has really been hurting you recently. So let's go through these guys and decide who's worth a keep or not. Why don't you start us off with Byfield, Shams, since that was the one you pointed out.
Byfield has been basically my biggest disappointment. I think I had him, I forget which round, but I drafted him in the first half of the Kecuffle draft, thinking, you know, hey, he's going to be top line, top power play like last year. But this year he's, you know, in that nebulous, we'll call it a third line, if you want to put Deneau as the second line with Fogel and LaFerriere. And basically what he's doing is that he's doing nothing. He's very consistent with getting a shot and two hits. Basically, if you bank those, he's getting nothing else. He has 0 points in the last three games. And the thing was, is that he had a goal and assist in a game, and I believe an assist before that, which made you think you had hope. But he just went right back to that one shot, two hits. And basically got to a point where I'm like, oh, he has the pedigree. He has the whatnot. Like, but I ended up cutting bait. I cut him for my team last Sunday. And then someone ended up putting in, I forget how much, like a decent fab bid, like $30. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to let myself be free. And then his first game, he plays off of my roster. One shot, two hits. I am fine with just letting this person go, as I've done it myself, and I recommend you do the same.
I agree with you. I'm a huge Byfield fan. I have him in a keeper league where you keep seven players each year, and I actually kept him this year as like a kind of preparation for the future. I kept like him and Slafkovsky trying to hit some home runs, and I think he's played his way out of my top seven going into next year. About 100 players are kept between all the teams in that league, and I don't know if I'd be keeping him with some of my other options, but I do like the player a lot. One thing I mentioned is that he seemed more fantasy relevant as a winger last year. That may be because he was the winger with Kopitar and Kempe, but also he's been pushed back to center this year. He's been kind of playing, it's either second or third line center, I'll call it 2A and 2B. His line and the Deneau line, but centers have a lot more ice to cover, a lot more defensive responsibilities. They may be actually trying to develop a all-around player instead of letting a fantasy asset go off. So I think that could be part of it. If he gets moved back to wing, I may speculatively pick him up. He's at least been on the power play recently, I guess, but that's not much. Next up, speaking of on the power play, Alex LaFerriere has come back down to earth. He's got no points in his last four, only one goal in his last eight. And he, if you remember, had some Blake Coleman-like tendencies where he was just going to score goals and not really get assists. He's still averaging a hair under 2.5 shots per game and has power play one. And I think he's at like two hits per game for the season, which is pretty good. I'm giving him a bit of leash in banger leagues. I like the PP1, especially position in it he's playing, and I like the hit and shot volume, and I think the points will slowly trickle back. If he loses power play one, I think that's about where I'm ready to let go. Am I a bit too bullish on random dude that nobody drafted?
I think it depends on how deep your league is. Personally, if he's currently your bottom roster guy, I have a feeling that you're probably safe to let him loose and then give him a shot or give someone else a shot. But maybe if you're in the deeper leagues where maybe there's not obvious people that like a power play one is that valuable to you because you can't possibly ever get a person, maybe. But honestly, I forget who, like I was talking to people before and I was telling them, you know, to drop LaFerriere. And also on top of it is that we're mentioning that Byfield and him were on the top power play. That was because they had a 5-forward power play. However, it went, I believe it was 0-for-5 last game. So I have a feeling we're probably going to see a new power play for the next game. So I wouldn't be putting too much thought on who's currently on the top power play. And we'll see how it kind of fleshes out for the Saturday game.
I agree with you there. I think I have it in the Brent Clark section of our card that the 5-forward power play just seems to never last, regardless of the team. And especially when they aren't scoring, I'm wondering if that's going to be over by Saturday, like you said. One thing in favor of dropping Laferriere and any other king for that reason, is their schedule kind of sucks. They had a 2-game week this week. They played Wednesday. Their next game is a busy Saturday this week. Then next week in general is busy as all get out. Like Monday and Saturday are moderately busy. 30 plus teams play Wednesday and Friday. So you're at most getting 2 games from him if he's a bench guy, or most getting 2 games next week. And then the week after, he has another 2-game week. So it may be one of those where you can kind of push him to the curb, hope nobody picks him up, and add him coming out of your, you know, December 8th through 15th matchup, if we're looking that far ahead. This is one guy I wouldn't be dropping, though. Kevin Fiala. He's got no points in his last 6. He's still shooting a decent amount, at least, but less than last year. And he's on power play 1 again. Hard to judge who's really on power play 1 with 5 forwards. It's interesting because when I saw Kevin Fiala having a cold start and getting benched by the coach, I immediately went to, oh, Kevin Fiala is like the poster boy for second half guys. And I looked at the stats. He definitely was a cold starter and hot finisher in 2020-21 and 2021-2022. But the last 2 seasons, he was more consistent. So I'm not sure if I'd be willing to bet the house on a Kevin Fiala scorching second half like you used to be able to. I hesitate to call him a buy low because I do think there's some risk. I think LA's been managing to win games. I think they may be playing a slightly more balanced style. And maybe he's a 65-point guy, not a 75 to 80.1. Am I too low on Fiala here?
I know. I'm kind of the same, but the nice thing is that we mentioned about the power play not knowing what's going to become. Unless there's a major shakeup, I have a feeling that other than Kopitar and Kempe, I feel like Fiala is pretty safe for that third spot, unless they do some abomination of a split power play, which would be even worse. So I think he's pretty safe there. And then with that in mind, having that exposure and hopefully water under the bridge with the, it feels like he gets benched by any coach once a year. So at least he's gotten that by. I feel like he has still with the decent shots, pretty set for the top power play. I'd be willing to keep him. He's going to be one of those guys probably where you're just going to have to, you know, take your medicine with the cold streaks and hopefully comes back. And I have a feeling he will get those goals.
Yeah, I think my thing is I don't think I'd be trading for him unless you can get him, you know, for super low. I have seen him dropped in a couple of my leagues, but those are my 12 team leagues. So that's, you know, a bit different of a calculus. And he's also been on a bad plus minus bender where he's been like -1 or -2 in I think 8 straight games. And so if your league is dumb and a clown league and counts plus minus, he's been hurting you. And some of my less informed league mates rage dropped him at that. To be clear though, do you agree with me when I say that I would rank Fiala over Laferriere over Byfield, or do you have a slightly different ranking?
I would have the same, honestly, at this point. I have Fiala and then a big gap and however you want to put the other two, you decide, but I have no interest in either of them.
Okay, yeah, big gap. My gap's a bit smaller. I like Laferriere and don't like Fiala. Like, Fiala constantly is on my do not draft list for one reason or another, but that may be my own personal team building biases creeping in. Last one, we had Brent Clark, who I won't ask you to rank with these guys because he's a defenseman. And that's an apples to oranges comparison. They're both fruits, but you still can't compare them. What do we have to say about Brent Clark?
Well, first is we had that issue with the 5-person power play, but hopefully that should be set into a position to fix itself. And in the last many games, I've can't even count it all right now because there's so many zeros I see. He only has one goal. But the nice thing is that other than the last game where he had zero shots, that game was just so weird on both ends that I wouldn't really put too much thought on how either the Kings or Buffalo played that day. But before that, he had a five-shot game with a one and then 4 and 4. He's just shooting all the time and he's blocking all the time. He's basically the ultra-powered version of what we like to talk about. You know, sometimes we bring up Wallman, those kind of guys, is that even without the points, those shots are just so off the wall, and having the like multiple 4 and 5 block shot nights as well, I would be all over him. If someone dropped him personally, I wouldn't be, depends on how low you could get this trade asset, I would not be spending too much. But if you could get him for cheap, either off the waiver wire for a fab bid or a trade where someone's just visibly upset with the guy, I would be interested to grab him. But for that, not really had high on the points. Maybe could be one of those situations where maybe not as bad as I was with Calgary, that the goals might be just dried up as a team and the defenseman is just going to take a side hit with that as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't be offering a trade for him unless, you know, you offer a guy that you're going to drop anyway. Definitely would be interested off the waiver wire. I think he's a pretty good defenseman, probably a low second or high third defenseman for most people in leagues that count blocks. I'm consistently impressed with the LA coaching staff across like multiple head coaches, just the amount they convince their defensemen to block shots. Because if you think of like Sean Durzi, blocked a ton of shots in LA and continues to in Utah, even as an offensive defenseman. You got Mikey Anderson, Drew Doughty's always blocked a ton. Like it definitely seems like a culture thing in LA that you step in front of shots. Kopitar's always near the top of the shot blocked boards for forwards. So kind of a fascinating thing that's lasted for honestly a decade, as far as I can remember, that Kings defensemen are always good for blocked shots. You had one hot streak to go over in the aforementioned Columbus game. I believe Dmitry Voronkov continued his hot streak. How hot is he?
So there may have been 5 more goals since I wrote this down, but basically through the half of this current game and the 3 previous games, he has 3 goals and 2 assists. And the interesting thing is that with the addition of Kent Johnson, they shuffled their lines a bit. And he is now on the top line with both Marchenko and Monahan and on the top power play. So this is not one of those situations where like Oliver, the guy that always hits, was getting some goals. So you're like, okay, that's not going to last. The interesting thing is that, you know, obviously they're not going to have a game like today every time, but they have a history of scoring. And he's on the top line, the top power play with 2 players that have the history of scoring themselves. Now, the issue is that they don't really have the greatest schedules, so they play Saturday next, and then I believe many busy days next week. There's not many good schedules next week either, so check if you could fit him in your roster, but I'm always interested in top line, top power play guys, and this person's doing that and is producing at that spot, so I wouldn't have any doubts. I've taken, you know, for example, if you have him in your free agency pool, I would be taking, dropping Byfield and LaFerriere in a second to grab him. You know, schedule outstanding.
I agree with that. I actually just looked. He's available in our 16-team tier 1. Unfortunately, I only have 1 move left and would prefer not to use it on someone that won't help me this week since I can't fit him anymore this week. Here's a question for you, though. The person who's taken the biggest hit to their deployment because of this is Yegor Chinnikov. He does have goals in 2 straight games, but he's down to second line and second power play. He actually has 0 power play time either of the last 2 games, although I think that's because of a low number of power plays. He's only taken 5 shots over his last 5 games. Time on ice is closer to 15 than the 17 to 19 he was getting earlier. Is the Yegor Chinnikov apple juiced? Orange juiced? What's the fruit reference I want there?
Basically, my rule that I go to is, as I referenced before, is I want top line, top power play. If you have that, you get all the rope you want for a long time. But if you don't have that, as long as you're producing, I'm interested or is willing to kind of, you know, look away. But as we mentioned before, is that he doesn't have the greatest schedule coming up. So if he starts showing signs of being cold, depending on, you know, if he's your bottom roster guy, which there's a good chance he is, depending on how deep your league is that I would be willing to let him go once he becomes cold. But with the way the team's scoring, I might be able to, you know, I wouldn't be rushing to drop him, but if he has like two or three games, maybe where he's not showing you something, or if you really need to pick up a streamer to fit up, you know, save your week this week, maybe I'd be a little bit more open to that. But we'll see how it goes. It's with the lines changing, someone could get injured, and he could be back into something interesting again.
I'm definitely giving a bit of wait and see on Columbus's new lines, because not only did Voronkov just return a few games ago, Kent Johnson returned either last game or this game and is also in the top six. So I think they're going to be finding some combinations that work well. And I don't want to panic drop someone. So if you've got the luxury of being able to hold a guy, give him another week or two, see what the lines look like, see if Columbus is still better than being the worst team in the league that a lot of people thought they were. They've had some pretty good fantasy value this year, so I'd hate to drop one of their guys a bit too early. With that, thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed our show, please consider joining the Keeping Carlson patron group at keepingcarlson.com/patron, where super supporters receive ad-free episodes and you can interact with Brian, Elon, the Short Shifts crew, and hundreds of other talented fantasy managers on our active Discord server. Please check out gamedaytweets.com to get all the best info from Twitter without having to slog through the rest of that place, including team-by-team and searchable tweets by player name and goalie start predictions. Visit that site and the other great sites we use to research our episodes with at Yahoo, Frozen Tools, and Natural Stat Trick. Our intro and outro music were created by Pat Roach. Until we see you next time, play smart and keep your ships short.